Hello.
Hello, it's me.
Was that Adele or was that Lionel Richie?
No, it was Hello, it's me. It's Adele.
Was it Adele?
Hello.
Okay.
Is it me you're looking for?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode. This is what they've been waiting for.
Sorry.
Breaking the fourth wall. We are your hosts.
We are your hosts.
I had a little bit of a malfunction there.
You're like,
we are your hosts, John Montague
and Nadine Crow.
And we are absolutely over the moon for you to join us for another week of fun, frolics, fantasy and...
Fear.
So Joel, today we are going to talk
about equity today. Equity, which I know we hear the groans from our listeners.
Ugh,
equity. Myself and Nadim, we've had a lot to do with equity, especially concerning the show that we worked on. But we're not really going to delve into that. We're going to sort of delve into the pros and the cons.
We're just going to dip our toes into that.
Yeah, dip our toes into that. Into, I guess, what equity stands for. So why don't you explain what equity actually is?
E is for elephant. Q is for quail. U is for uvula.
It's the actress version of LGBTQI+.
Well, equity is our union.
Yes.
So equity in an industry which is actually sort of, I would say, moderated and mediated through kind of goodwill rather than any sort of formal law, we kind of have our union that sets standards for us and negotiates, I guess, in London with the Society of London Theatres, which is why we have the equity contracts, which wouldn't be there if that agreement didn't exist. They'd be able to pay actors whatever they wanted. And then things like touring contracts, and then you've got contracts for film and television. Some of that crosses over into
everything,
crosses over into other unions.
Yeah. It's funny that kind of how you said, what did you sort of say at the first part then?
I said that we kind of moderates and mediates through goodwill.
Yeah, because it's interesting, because I also think the moderation and mediation of goodwill kind of hones back to that thought of kind of not taking our job seriously. Do you know what I mean? It's not like it's a union where... It's not like the miners' union.
I think the union takes the job seriously. I think the reality is that there was a long period in theatre where perhaps actors were expected to do a lot more for a lot less.
Yeah.
And at some point, if a union didn't stand in, there wouldn't be a point where... when we were going into a job, we had expectations or a classification of the quality of the work or the size of the project and what pay would be expected and how the rehearsal process, performance process contracts would roll out.
Yeah.
I think it was probably even more ad hoc than it is now. Whereas now we can kind of say, look, you know, you were going into a Category B theatre, it's minimum equity or above minimum equity and we're all speaking the same language.
Yeah, and also I think with more than anything... especially in every walk of entertainment, the price of things, like the price that people pay even for, like, let's say a Netflix show or everything, it's like it goes up and up and up. So therefore, writers, actors, directors, whoever they are, deserve their rightful cut of that money.
And I think that is the very positive part of equity, right? If this didn't exist, we would have no framework on which to...
It'd be every man for himself, wouldn't
it? Yeah, we couldn't reach for a book or a handbook when there were grievances, and that handbook develops each year as new grievances come up and things that weren't thought of and new circumstances, like anything. And it is there is a point of contact. You know, every show tends to have an equity dep, and that equity dep represents the cast and or company, unless there's a company dep, you know, sort of separately looking after everybody that's, you know, working like donkeys backstage. So I think that is, you know, the bit that we can't you know, we wouldn't do without. And then obviously there's bits like the performers insurance and the fact that performers who may have not had anything more than a state pension can now
have a pension. Their equity,
you know,
pension.
There's the free diary, which I don't think one went out this year. I think people were absolutely fuming on Ensemble. Absolutely fuming.
So I guess we could kind of cover the pros of equity, which is obviously it is a union. It is a stronghold force for actors and stage management, and I think, I'm assuming directors and writers as
well. Yeah, I think so.
I actually know myself, I'm so sorry. I should know that. But definitely, because we're majority in the theatre world, is that I've only known it to be actors and stage management primarily. they are the voice, I guess, and they are the, let's say, the middleman, the commanding sort of people that when there's a problem and we can't sort it through the management, yeah. we go to Equity
yeah.
for their help.
It's also kind of weaponized a bit, isn't it? Well, I'll go to Equity.
Yes. You know? Yes. I'll go to my lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of got that. And Equity has some ways of escalating things. For instance, it has kind of the theatre council or theatre. It's almost like a theatre court, isn't it?
Yes.
Where problems can be escalated.
Which we don't really know how useful that is after yeah. our experience.
I think now. The problem is that all... Again, I think that's another tool that, to an extent, is weaponized because it looks quite bad for a production company if it's, you know, a grievance goes that far and isn't sorted out.
Most recently, I would say Equity, for me, especially when I had that that sort of issue on tour with the a bit of a short story. Essentially, when we went out on tour after COVID, to our listeners, there was a lot of difficulty with the payments of subsistence.
Okay.
And but essentially, people were saying that it wasn't good enough because also, rightfully so, if you got pulled from a venue, a majority, well, all the company pretty much would lose their subsistence because, yeah. but they've already paid.
Yeah.
So as you all know, when you go on tour, if anyone listening has gone on tour, a lot of people try to book their places in advance, and 9 times out of 10, you either pay deposits or now you actually have to try and pay all of it up front,
yeah.
which I don't know how they're going to get around it, because this was a conversation we did have with Equity during the time, is I don't know going forward how that's going to help people, because I don't think everyone has got, well, they definitely haven't got £12,000-£13,000 lying in their account that they yeah. can just pay before they've even started
yeah.
the job.
And it's not the kind of stuff you can really pay with a credit card, even if that's exactly. the way you're getting to finance it.
Exactly, you can't do it. So what I will say for, I think it was Charlotte Bence, sorry to mention her name, but she's fantastic. She kind of came in and she was extremely strong.
Is she from Equity?
Yeah, she represented
the touring team, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. And she just, I think a lot of it now, post-COVID, is being very much like, we actually need to really take the reality of the situation. I think years ago, and even probably when we were doing School of Rock, Nadine, the essence of it was, nothing ever really got... You were kind of... I've always thought you rang Equity to check things
yeah.
rather than actually to do something about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas I think my experience with you was the first opportunity where I'd actually taken an actual problem to Equity.
I think Equity's view, or some people with an Equity's view, and I completely understand this, is that everything that has been achieved so far, particularly in the West End, particularly when it comes to the Society of London Theatres, who are huge, it's mm-hmm. a huge monster of a business. I don't mean monster in a negative way, I just mean it's mammoth.
Massive.
They think that that relationship and everything that we've got so far is potentially quite fragile.
Yeah.
And actually, there is nothing really stopping Salt from withdrawing from an Equity agreement.
Yeah.
They don't have to honour an Equity contract. So I think there's always been this slight kind of, don't ask for it because you're not going to get it. And by asking for it, you're kind of prodding the bear, and the bear's just going to go,
yeah.
do you know what, forget this, we'll just go back to the way when we had complete autonomy as to what each theatre owner, producer, corporation wanted to offer within a contract. And actually we know that most actors just want to work, so they'll probably take it, whatever, you know, is given. And I think because of that, and because of, you know, as we said, we can't go into details, but with what we went through with Equity, which was, as we've said before, relatively huge in terms of having to deal with Equity and problems within a show, there was a huge reluctance to take it forward.
Mm.
The attitude was very much like, taking this forward is just going to get you people a bad name,
yeah.
and you're not going to get what you want out of it, nothing will change, and we're concerned that you're going to annoy, or we are going to annoy... theatre producers, theatre owners, and it's just going to make you know, relationships difficult in the future. And actually, it took a hell of a lot of pushing.
Oh.
We were like dogs with bones.
Yeah, I think
to
we
just go. We're not.
I think we had about
it.
16 meetings, didn't
oh, yeah.
we, before we even had the what we know as the big meeting.
Yeah,
but I think I can make a similarity actually to, you know, when you're kind of, I guess, say, prodding your agent for an answer or things like that. It's Equity sometimes act too much, in my opinion, like the middleman
yeah.
rather than the voice of who they represent.
Yeah.
Because also, this is another thing. And I think this is a man management skill to be able to put yourself in someone's position and understand their thought process into why they've brought you this problem. I think that's a skill that I've not really met so many people in equity when we were going through that problem, let's say yesteryear. Not necessarily now. I think there's a lot more people that work at equity now that are kind of on the front foot and wanting to make drastic change for how it's perceived.
If you think about it, I guess equity, if you think how the stage manager is there to look after the cast, and then equity is there to look after all casts, and you know, with anybody in that sort of management position, there are always managers who are either better at looking after the people that they are answering to or above them, or people that are better at looking after the people below them. So have you got the kind of manager that's saying, actually, guys, you need to work harder, we shouldn't be asking for more money? Or have you got the kind of manager that's going to their manager and saying, you know what, these people need a better working environment, they need more money, they need a better quality of life? And I think that's a very, it's almost like mediating a war, because within war, one side's always got one more power than the other. Mm-hmm. So you're always trying to kind of safeguard one side and at the same time placate the other side so that, you know, their actions don't escalate, or, you know, you're basically trying to find peace, aren't you?
Yeah.
And the problem is the power struggle between actors and producers and theatres, particularly in London, is absolutely massive.
Yeah.
They're untouchable. They're not people that come into our lives. You're rarely having a direct conversation with the person paying your bills. And then therefore, when you go to equity and say the cast aren't happy about the fact there are no, I don't know,
X, Y, Z, whatever it is.
There's no way to wash my hands in the toilet. They're a bit like, do you know what? Just deal
with your battles.
Yeah. You know, and I do get that. But it's another slippery slope in the way that we as performers are slightly responsible for our position in the food chain, because we accept things.
Yeah.
We say, yes, we'll do it. Equity also have a bit of responsibility for what they say, you know, just put a lid on it, because they don't stand up for us sometimes when they should, and say, actually, you may think that it's trivial, but it's so trivial. Do you know what? Just implement it. If it's that trivial, put the sinks in tomorrow, you know, and it just it irritates me.
Yeah.
Because actually, if it was within normal business, I would go probably to my manager and just have that conversation myself. But I always felt like a child having to go to equity or having to go and sit with a company manager at the age of 30 saying, I'm not happy about this. Can you go and sit, tell so-and-so? I should be able to tell so-and-so myself that things aren't right.
But also our experience wasn't very good. Not with equity necessarily, but the way that we had to keep going to equity it wasn't a great experience. Because
I mean, an element of that was that it was the first time something exactly like that had happened.
But also, if I'm trying to word this correctly, but if that situation would have been dealt with a lot better, we might not have even had to have gone any further with equity.
Shouldn't have even had to get as far as equity.
That situation should
have been sorted out in-house.
Yeah.
And it
from the first moment we brought it up.
Because
it was important.
It should have just been an agreement and an acceptance.
Yeah.
And it should have been left there. But the fact that it had to go further, and then our only other avenue was basically trying to go away.
Yeah, to kick and scream.
Yeah.
And I think for me, like, looking back on that situation, a lot of people easily turn around. Let's say a majority of people in management can easily turn around and go, they're actors, they're overdramatic, all they want is this. And it's like, actually, there's a massive majority of actors that will, as soon as you speak to them, they understand the situation.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to speak to them, if you're going to give us radio silence and nothing, and in our case, leave us waiting for 6-7 months until any correspondence of the situation in any workforce, you're going to get a rebellion.
A revolution.
You're going to get people turning around having problems.
And also, you want to set a precedent, don't you? Because I'd hope, having gone through what we went through, that it also gave equity the boost, because actually the people representing us in that case, when it actually came to the day, they were strong.
Yeah, they were really good.
And they knew their stuff, but they needed encouragement to take it over the line. They wouldn't put their head above the parapet. So because of that, we didn't really know what the potential was.
No.
But actually, once we got out there and we were fighting, they were impressive.
Yeah, I also think it was quite weird in a particular situation, because sometimes we never wanted it to get to where it got to. Right. We just wanted the situation to be case closed and move on. But it felt like the more that we were fighting, the more that we were made to feel like we wanted to keep going. And we were like, no, you're misunderstanding this whole situation.
This is taking up our time.
We're taking out of our time going, I mean, me and you went to how many meetings before a show?
Exactly.
It was like, this is a nightmare. But the essence of the argument, we were right. We were within our right, and we were right.
And it was confirmed, and the outcome was we were right.
We were right.
But it took a fight.
But what's ridiculous is that particular situation, shouldn't it have even taken a fight? It should have just been dealt with. And 9 times out of 10, a lot of the issues that you bring to equity are situations that can be sorted.
Yeah.
You know, it's different, let's say, if all of a sudden, I don't know, producer tries to do something quite crazy and off the wall, and no rules or any regulations have been written for this kind of a situation. Fine, understandably. But a majority of the time, that equity, that rule book with SALT, that agreement is, it's pretty epic. Like
it covers
a lot of stuff. And I just felt like, even with that handbook, it's funny that you said about SALT walking away. I also think, the more you spoke about that, me was going, to be honest, if SALT actually walked away, it'd be a nightmare for them, because the amount of actors, stage management, who all had individual contracts, individual problems.
Yeah.
Equity saves SALT and producers a lot of time and money.
Yeah.
Of time and money. And I actually think that they help each other.
Yeah.
But I just think sometimes, I think a lot of us do wish would, you wish equity would be stronger. But also sometimes you've got to understand that the game that they're having to play. Absolutely. As well.
People make fun of equity, or not make fun of equity, but people don't respect equity enough, because they kind of only see the day-to-day stuff they feel that they haven't responded to. But actually, we wouldn't have any guidance, we wouldn't have a handbook, we wouldn't have any regulations or standards for the business to operate on. We wouldn't have equity contracts if they didn't agree. And I think that we have to support the union. We have to understand that it's always going to be operator dependent. Good people will come in, bad people will come in, like shows, like any business. We have to put money in, otherwise those people can't earn a living. And they also come in to work from 9 to 6 every day, sometimes longer, because they're answering phones, you know, weird times because of problems that could happen at any time of the show. And I think you just have to understand that there's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes that's keeping some kind of standard to our business. That means that if they weren't there, we would notice.
Yeah, it's very, very, it's very easy, isn't it, for a bunch of actors, for actors in general or stage management, to criticise stuff. Because I think, especially as actors, we get criticised all the time.
Yeah.
So naturally, all we do is point out the bad parts of something. But the fact is, it's all relative to your situation.
Yeah.
Because if we didn't face that situation, we wouldn't have gone to equity.
Yeah.
And so everyone's going to, whether you complain about the holiday pay, or whether you complain about, I don't know, a scheduling thing or your cover payment, it's only going to be relative to your specific situation.
Yeah,
and you're going to then complain about that situation.
Everyone values different parts
of
their job.
And I think you've got to remember how many things can go wrong in, whether it's just theatrical contracts or TV contracts or whatever. And they have to cover that basis for everything. And I do think they do a great job within what they try and do. Yes, could it be better? Of course,
absolutely.
It could. But
most unions could be better.
I could be better on stage.
And
so,
I think, actually, just to kind of end this, sometimes the union has to be there to tell people to get back in their box. Because I've sat on those panels and heard some of the requests that our fellow performers made, and you just think,
what's wrong with you?
You have no idea how lucky you are.
Yeah, you're so out of the loop. And also, if that's your focus,
yeah,
what about
the
actual issues?
You might need to realign.
Realign yourself.
So thank you for joining us for another week of what's the show called?
I don't know.
Breaking the fourth wall.
But I thought you were like fair, and then a prayer. Thank. That's what happened.
I thought I was thinking of the gospel medley by Destiny's Child, but that's pretty different.
You go with that,
yeah,
and we're gonna leave.
And you just go away.
I'm just gonna go.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.